So it's February 2021. Pandemic had happened for a year. Got it. Well, at this time, we were living in Gilbert, Arizona. And at that time, like, I was working 24/7, not spending any time with my family. This business preschool system was scaling to the moon. And it was just like all hands on deck. Like, holy cow, this is getting crazy. Life was very unbalanced at the time. And I had a moment where, you know, I was pondering, like, and for those of you who know, obviously my first mission is to help women start preschools, but my second mission is to bring the mothers home. And this is something that's been my mission for probably like the past three, four years. And I was wondering, like, what's my next step in the Bring the Mothers Home movement? And you guys can go watch my YouTube videos and podcasts all about that. Go Google it, right? Joy Anderson, Bring the Mothers Home. You'll find my podcast. So anyways, it's like, what's the next step of that? You know, it's not about preschool. So like, what is the next step here? And I had a picture come to my head. This picture of mountains, lakes, and evergreens, where I was living in the mountains, lakes, and evergreens. And in that moment, in this picture, I felt like I was homeschooling my kids and life was just good, right? I mean, I was like in the healthiest moment of my life and I was just happy with my kids. And it was the complete opposite of what my current life was like. Like, my current life was just like 24/7 working nonstop, like hardly sleeping, not eating right, not being very like healthy and everything. And like complete opposite was this glorious picture of me living in the mountains, lakes, and evergreens, which is not Arizona, come on. And just homeschooling my kids and just like pouring into them. I was like, and I felt in that moment that was the next step. I was like, what is that? I don't even know what that is, but I want it so bad. You guys, yesterday we talked about a compelling future, yes? And I had you paint the picture. What does it look like? What does it feel like? Who's there with you? Paint the picture. What do you want so bad that you will be willing to do anything to go get? That you will pull yourself out of this pit, that you will be clear on what you really want in life. You're going to go after your dream. That was my dream in the moment. I told my husband that night, I don't know what this means. I don't know what we're supposed to do, but I know I want that. And he's like, I don't know either. This is crazy. I started on my journey that day, that very night. Told my preschool all-stars, in fact, the next morning I went live. I said, this is crazy. I don't know what this is, but it's something. And so over the next weeks, months, crazy stuff started happening in our life, aligning with this vision of we're going to be headed there somehow. I don't know how, but it's going to work out. And then what happened was right before Mother's Day, I had been like, it was the very first time I had decided to like look around for properties. Like, we were thinking maybe we'll spend the summer in Idaho where there's mountains, lakes, and evergreens, like Coeur d'Alene or McCall, Idaho. And maybe we'll just go summer there, summer there. Look at me, like, you know, put the kids in a summer camp and I'll go like, you know, find myself in the mountains or something. And anyways, that was like my intent. I couldn't find any summer camps. They were all full. And I'm like, this isn't working out. But it was the Sunday before Mother's Day. I started looking for properties that maybe we could buy. We weren't in the market to buy a house, but I'm like, maybe. And so I started looking for land. I started looking for properties. And I always stopped right there at McCall, Idaho. I was like, I'm not going more north than McCall because that's just crazy cold. I'm not going to do it. It was like basically around Boise, Idaho. Okay. Or a little like into Utah and stuff. I wouldn't go north. But there was a lake and there was mountains and there was evergreens. And I'm like circling on realtor.com, like all the little lakes, you know, and trying to like find little properties that matched whatever was in my vision in my head and not finding anything. And then keep going multiple days, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, not finding anything. Wednesday, I decide to look more north. Because there's a lot of lakes up in the little panhandle of northern Idaho. And I'm like, I'm just going to look. Wednesday, I'm looking up there. I'm opening up the little, you know, lakes and everything. And I see this picture. Stopped my scroll. This gorgeous lake with the mountains behind it, covered in evergreens with a dock that leads out to the lake. That was the picture on, it wasn't even a house. It was the picture of that. I'm like, what is this? Because it immediately triggered something in me that like, this could be it. I clicked on it. and I'm scrolling through these pictures. It's 8 acres. I don't need 8 acres, but dang, that's a lot of land. And I'm scrolling through and I'm looking at there. I'm like, oh my gosh. And I had this feeling come over me that like, and the word retreat, I see all this land and I'm like, we're going to do retreats for women on this property. I'm going to teach them the curriculum to help them, you know, come home. Like, I don't know what I'm going to teach. I'm scrolling and I see a barn. And this barn is on the property. And in this moment, this is crazy and this is so true. My all-stars can attest every moment of this is true because they've heard the story for 2 years being built. I see this picture of the barn and in an instant, I think of one woman. And I know, I haven't even thought of this woman for like 12, 13 years. She's not in my, like, I knew her from my sister. My sister had gone to one of her retreats in a barn 12 to 13 years ago and had told me about it. I hadn't thought of this woman in 12 to 13 years. But in that second, as I'm just scrolling through pictures, within like, this is 30 to 60 seconds of all this happening, I feel so strongly that this woman's curriculum will be taught in that barn to bring the mothers home. And I'm like, I'm looking at Michael and he's like driving the car. I'm like, I think I found the place. Like, this is crazy. And I am full of faith at this time. I had the vision come to me of the thing that we're supposed to do. I was feeling so full of faith and called that I don't know what this is, but I will walk this because it is important. It will get figured out somehow, but I'm going to keep walking this. And until it shows me otherwise that I shouldn't walk it, I will keep walking this. And so, and that, these are characteristics right now of people who find success in our program. And so I put in a little message because I see some railroad tracks. I see the lake on the side and I'm like, hold up. There's railroad tracks that go from our property to our lakefront. And I'm already saying our property, from our property, you know, to the lakefront property. And I'm like, do you just walk over the railroad tracks? Like, how do you get to your lake? Because it's on the lake, right? It's like literally the whole property on the lake. And so I message realtor.com real quick. Can you walk over the railroad tracks? Immediately I get a phone call. Realtor.com, you know what you're doing. Because I had to put my information in. I wasn't looking to buy a property. I'm just scrolling. Hi, I just saw that you asked us a question on realtor.com. I don't know the answer, but I'm going to put you in touch with the realtor who does. And I'm like, okay. So then he calls me a couple minutes later. Hey, saw that you're looking at this property. When would you like to come see it? And I'm like, we're in Arizona. Y'all are up in Northern Idaho. Like, I'm like dumbfounded at this point, right? By the way, Sunday, get this. The day I started looking online for properties to buy was Sunday before Mother's Day. You want to know what day this property showed up on realtor.com? I kid you not. The Sunday I started looking, but I had refused to look up in Northern Idaho. How crazy is that? So anyways, I'm like, I don't even know. Find out about the railroad tracks. I'm going to talk to my husband. We'll talk tomorrow morning. Because in my head, I'm like, I haven't even gotten approved for a loan. We were just looking. Like, we run our own business. We haven't bought a house with our business income in like 10 years. Like, I don't even know. And so anyways, I'm like, we'll talk tomorrow. So you find out some answers and we'll talk tomorrow. So then my husband and I'm talking to him all night, right? Like, and we came to this conclusion tomorrow morning. Okay. So that was, it was a Thursday. Yeah. Wednesday we found it. Thursday. I said, Thursday morning, we will put into the bank a request to get approved for a loan. And if we get accepted for the loan, then we'll keep walking this conversation because it was not a price that we had ever entertained before. And so he's like, okay, that sounds good. So anyways, Thursday morning, I had gone live with the All-Stars again. I found this property. I just am talking to my lender and we get approved. And I'm like, okay. So I call the realtor up. You know what? I guess we'll be there tomorrow. I'm like, has it already gotten accepted? Like, have people already put bids on it? And he's like, no. But it just got listed Sunday. It was in one of the, it was in right above Coeur d'Alene, Idaho. And so it is in the hot, Coeur d'Alene, Idaho was the hottest market in the entire country. Homes were going like hotcakes, right? And so you should probably get up here soon. So I'm like, okay, we'll be there tomorrow. So Friday we fly up there and see it. We go to the lake, down the dock. We are standing on this dock and I'm doing a 360 turn. And it is absolute peace. You have the little highway that runs past right there. You can barely hear some cars, but there's no houses. You know how typically a lakefront property, there's houses all over the lake. There's docks everywhere. One dock, the entire lake, no houses. The dock would be ours. We would be the only ones with the dock. I mean, it felt like you were going to national forest property. That's what it felt like, completely protected. In fact, that's what the majority of the land was national forest property. So anyways, we had gone to the dock first and I fell absolutely in love with it. I was like, I want this. This is it. This is what I had in my vision. The mountains, lakes, evergreens to a T, like this is it. Well, we drive up, you know, to the house, which is above on the hill, looking down over the lake, of course. And I had my little rose-colored glasses on. Not really, but it's the concept that like I had just been fully moving forward in faith. Full faith. Like, I don't know how it's going to work out, but this is going to work out. And I want this so bad. So when we saw that the barn was full of their stuff from a gazillion years, didn't even faze me. When we saw that their home, which was a 1932 homestead, was completely falling apart, didn't faze me. I was like, not a big deal. Well, you know, it was like completely rotted out in one of the areas, complete water damage. I was like, not a big deal. We're going to tear that out. You know, me thinking I can do some renovate. We're going to tear out the floor, put in a new floor. We're going to do some paint on the interior and the exterior, and we're going to be good. Like, that's what I believed. Well, I'm thinking in my head, 20 grand. We can do that, you know? I'm just like laughing because it's been 2 years and I know the outcome of the story. So anywho, we eventually put an offer on it that next day. We put an offer, not full price, but real close. And then we flew home and I'm just, you know, I'm on fire. This is it. We're going to teach her curriculum. And I was trying to find her and I'm like scouring the internet for this woman who I haven't thought about in 13 years. And I'm trying to call my sister. Where is she? And she's like disappeared off the face of the land. But I need her curriculum to be taught in this place. And anyways, Sunday, Mother's Day, the house, this land went under contract with us to bring the mothers home. I mean, you could not have written a story like this, right? Like this is crazy. It's like a movie. So fast forward. Let's go now fast through the next scenario because you remember I was operating solely on faith, okay? That is a characteristic of an entrepreneur is that when things are, I have this vision, I don't know how I'm going to do it, but I'm going to figure it out, right? That's a characteristic of someone who is successful in Preschool All-Stars. I don't know how it's going to work out, but I'm going to figure it out, right? I'm going to collect all the mentors and tools and supplies that I need to make this happen. So fast forward, here's the story. So anywho, over the next 2 months, it was a very fast close. We obviously got the inspection back and the inspection was horrible, but we're like, not a big deal. My brother-in-law who needed some extra work at the time, he's gonna come up with his family. He's gonna renovate the project. We're okay. You know, it'll probably be like max like 100K, right? And so, what's up? You look beautiful. You look great. Are you gonna wear your cute little shoes? You gonna wear your cute little pink shoes? Aw, it's her first dance. I love it. Do you need me to do your hair? No. You good? Yeah. Cause I could do your hair. We could like curl it over here. Your hair, you good? You look great. Have fun. Okay. So anywho, I'm like, okay, you know, it had gone from like 20K to like 100K. Okay, but you know, we'll figure it out, right? So then, and I'm busting my butt in the business to like make this happen. Cause we got to have all this money to fund it and close and do the renovation and all this stuff. And I'm still like full faith ahead. Okay. We're good. We get to the closing day and we fly up there. Cause that's what you do when you're going to go buy a house like this. That's, you know, falling apart. You go to closing And it's the night before. And now we had heard all sorts of stories that these people had not moved out their stuff, that they were still living there, that their garage or the entire barn was still full of all their stuff. And we had this just kind of like gut feeling like, I don't know what we're going to walk into. So we show up on the property the night before we're supposed to close. And I'll tell you, these rose-colored glasses that I had, the moment full of faith of months and months and months, from February until I believe this was like June or July, probably July sometime, completely shattered. We're driving up to the property, and this 8 acres of land that had been green when we saw it before was now completely yellow, completely overgrown with weeds. They hadn't mowed it. They hadn't watered it. They hadn't touched it in the 2 months that we had put the contract on. They could care less. They hadn't moved a single thing out of their barn. And in fact, they were still living in the home the night before closing with a bunch of their stuff still in the home. They hadn't moved out. And in fact, on the time where we were supposed to do our walkthrough, the grandma was still in the house. Everybody, you know, you're supposed to be gone if you're somebody's doing a walkthrough of a home. Especially the day before where we're supposed to get the keys. You would assume, like, you want to see it in the condition that it is supposed to be in, like, that was 2 months earlier condition. But I saw everything so clear at that time. I saw this house in absolute disrepair, which it already had been 2 months earlier, but I didn't see it because I had the faith glasses on. I saw, and they had left cats in rooms with apparently doors shut. There was urine smell everywhere. Because when we saw it 2 months earlier, even with the rose-colored glasses on, all the windows were open. But now all the windows were closed. And the smell, when you walked in the house, of the urine, of the cats, of the mold that was in the house that we could not smell before. Those glasses shattered. And I went straight into fear. And I stayed there for quite some time. And the next day, we're signing the docs. And we're signing. And we see this weird graphic, you know? Because when we looked on Realtor.com, we owned 8 acres and it looked like this. It was like all land and a little bit of water. Like, that's cool. Like, we got the dock. That's awesome. But when we signed the closing papers, it looked real different. We're like, that's kind of weird. Like, it looks like this really long thing where there's only 3 acres of land and 5 acres under the water. Like, we owned like that much of the water, 5 acres underwater. And I'm like, and there's all these easements on the land. And I'm just like, what is this? Like, this wasn't represented to us. It's really weird. And we're signing. Never once did we get a document that said HOA on it. But wouldn't you know that in some addendum somewhere, there was one line of copy that said, we in the mountains with 8 acres on a lake with only like 3 neighbors around us lived in an HOA. We never saw that line in the many, many pages that we read. Typically, when you apparently enter into an HOA, you get a stack of papers, don't you? Of all the HOA requirements. Nope. We just have one little tiny line of all the other gazillion lines in there that said something about CCNRs. Go look up this file number in, you know, the Bonner County records. Didn't even see it. We're signing away. We're saying, this feels kind of a little weird, like that we've got like this weird little shape of property I didn't know was like this. Like, maybe that's a prop. Maybe they did it wrong. Surely we can't be buying like 5 acres of water. Surely not. Like, that's weird. Whatever. We sign. We get home after signing. We're just really not feeling good. And, you know, we're supposed to get the keys in a couple hours. And we're like, I guarantee they haven't even left the property. I guarantee it. Like, we just knew we were going to show up on the property with keys in hand. Like, it's freaking ours. Get off our land now. And they're still going to be there. We're going to have to call the cops. Like, we fully expected that. Because they still had all their crap in the house in the barn. This is too good to go too fast. It is good, good. So just listen up. So I'm still in straight fear mode, aren't I? So we show up, keys in hand. This is now our property. We just literally bought it. They were gone, but you know what they left? Their dog. They left their dog in like 110 degrees because it got like a crazy heat spell came that week. 110 degrees. Their dog is sitting outside the house. And random cats are walking around too. And I'm like, are you kidding me? I'm not touching this dog. Like, you don't touch people's dogs. Like, it is not okay to like that's a family pet. You know what I mean? Like, and we're like, we're leaving like in another couple days. Like, we cannot, what do we do with this dog? And we're like, crap. Well, the guy comes back. No, he doesn't come back. First, we text the realtor. Like, dude, tell the guy to come get his dog because we are not taking it anywhere. We're not like, this is not okay. So we text the realtor, tell the guy to come back and get his dog. He shows back up and he is drunker than anything and he's bawling his eyes out because like we just kicked him out. You knew that you were leaving for 2 months. Like, I don't know what you expected when you sell a house, dude. And he gets his dog and then my brother-in-law who was there started to talk to him and the guy just flipping like swears off at him. Just like, get out of my face. Whole bunch of obscenities, you know, obscenities, whatever. And I'm just like, oh my gosh, like this guy knows where we live. Like, this is not cool. Anyways, the guy takes his dog and leaves. And we are just sitting here with like this, like if I could swear I would, but like this crappy place that we just purchased for a whole heck of a lot of money. And now we're going to have to go spend a whole heck of a lot of more money to not only renovate the house, but the entire land that has gone to seed now with weeds. Like, not expected to do that, but now we have to. Well, anyways, we leave, okay? We fly home and I'm shattered. Like I wrote in my preschool all-stars, like everything I had hoped about this vision, everything I thought was true about it was like literally crumbling in front of my eyes. My brother-in-law gets started to work on the property. We're back in Arizona, he's in Idaho. He's like renovating it. And he's like, you know, several weeks in, he's like, we got a problem with the budget because, you know, 1932 house, you open up one wall, you open up a whole new can of worms and he has to gut the entire thing. It is so full of mold. It is so full of every issue you could possibly imagine. He guts the whole thing. And he's like, we got to talk the budget. And I'm like, well, what do you think it's going to be? He's like, I have no clue. I'm like, okay. So I'm working my butt off. Like the whole goal was to stop working 24/7. But here I am. I got this house of worms, this can of worms we just opened that is going to need even more money and even more money and even more money. I'm like, is this going to bankrupt us? Like, holy flip. This was supposed to be like the land of our dreams. Like the place of everything was going to be amazing, right? Our best life. We can't even move in there. We can't even get in. Like, we might even like lose everything, pouring everything into this vision. I met the woman. Her name's Melody Ross. I don't know if anybody's ever met her before. I scoured the internet for this woman. I prayed to find this woman. She'd gone off the internet for years. Her own stuff was going on. And when I finally found her, I said, Melody, I've been looking for you for months. And I finally found you. And like, I believe your curriculum is supposed to be taught in this barn. I believe it's going to help bring the mothers home. I don't know how, Melody, but like I need to teach this curriculum. And so she's like, Joy, this is crazy. But I've had people reach out to me in the past couple months asking me to bring this curriculum back. What's up? Yeah, don't bring a wallet. You got cash? You good? Okay. So I said, I need you to teach me this curriculum. I need to be able to teach it. And she's like, this is crazy, but like you coming back in here and you finding me. And she's like, other people have asked me to bring it back. She's like, okay, I didn't want to do this, but I think I need to. And she's like, can you come up for a retreat in a couple weeks and learn and get certified to teach the curriculum? I'm like, yes, I'll be there. Like $5,000. Yes. Name the place. I'll be there. Drove up to Utah and met this amazing woman that who the heck, like, how did I find her? How was it supposed to be this woman, her curriculum that I was supposed to like find her and help her come back into this world? It was the most amazing experience. She brought me back into faith. Out of all this horrible things that were going on, she brought me back the passion that said, like, that realigned my vision with what I was doing. Regardless of all the roadblocks that were popping up, she gave me that faith again. And the recommitting that this is important work to bring into the world to help these women. And in fact, after I got certified, I did a virtual retreat, and hashtag virtual, if you were there with me on that, it was a 3-week virtual retreat where I taught the curriculum, not in the barn because we weren't in the property, but virtually. It was a beautiful, beautiful experience helping women to be able to overcome what they had gone through in their past. And possibly we're even going through currently, and helping them to turn that pain into power and find their own power and being able to overcome their story and become the warrior in their own story. And it was a beautiful experience. And I started feeling a little bit more faith again, right? And that leading into fall 2021. But I'll tell you, some other stuff started happening, you know? I hit the pinnacle of success in what you might call, you know, business, where I had worked so hard and poured so much into, you know, making all this money so we could fund this house, fund this land, so I could do the vision that was called to me, and poured so much money and time into this that we hit what you could call the pinnacle of success if you're running a business, which is, you know, we hit $1 million mark in the business, of this business. And I'll tell you, I watched this is going to be a longer video, guys. If you got to go, I totally get it. You can watch the replay, but this is important stuff. I remember I was on my Stripe account, and I knew this was coming for a couple days. Obviously, you can see the numbers ticking around, you know, and I was looking for it to go to 1.0, you know, because it was leading up there. And I knew there's going to be a certain day coming up soon when it finally hit 1.0, and I was going to be able to capture it. I was going to like take a picture of myself in that moment, right? When like, everything I'd worked so hard for, like, that's the goal, right? It's like, make $1 million business and like, isn't that the epitome of like, wow, I've done it, I made it? Like, I can feel it right now. Like, I remember I was sitting at my kitchen table. I think my kids were at school, and my husband, I don't even know where he was. He's probably like upstairs or something. Maybe he was gone, I don't know. I sit at my kitchen table alone, and I refreshed the Stripe screen, and you notice it said 1 million. Like, I just hit 1 million in the business. And I thought in that moment, I had, you know, this was the moment I worked so hard for. Like, the moment that is supposed to be like, holy cow, like, all the hard work you've done, look, it finally meant something. Like, you did something amazing. Like, that's an accomplishment, achievement that most people can never obtain. Like, you should feel so amazing about you. You're so proud of yourself in that moment. And I remember sitting there looking at that number, and I took a screenshot and I took a picture of my face. This is exactly how I felt. Because in that moment, I had burned down everything to get there. Sacrificed my family, sacrificed my marriage, sacrificed my time with my kids. And for what? For what? So I could hit some achievement that mattered to somebody, or it mattered to me years earlier, or mattered to me months earlier. It meant nothing to me at that point. What it meant was that I had sacrificed everything for some worldly achievement. For what? It's the complete opposite of how I thought I would feel. And in that moment, like all of my beliefs about business and money and like everything like crumbled. And this vision of like what I was supposed to do, like, what am I doing any of this for, right? Like, you gave me this vision to go get this land. In order to get the land, I had to work so hard. I'm not even up there. I'm not serving this mission. It's going to probably bankrupt us. That's pretty close to the rock bottom moments was fall 2021. You know, we finished renovating the property. I think it took us right till about, well, it wasn't even done yet. It was about almost Thanksgiving. And we just got to the point where we said, we are moving. It was October 31st. Our lease was up in Gilbert, Arizona, and we had to leave. And we were supposed to come up to Northern Idaho. We're supposed to move into our house, like, and the house wasn't ready. We dropped off our kids in Rexburg, Idaho, where my parents lived, and we kept driving up north. And we got up to the property and we stayed, I think at a hotel or something, yeah, with the dog, for like 2 to 3 weeks, all up until Thanksgiving time, working on the house, building the deck, like helping my brother-in-law to finish it. Like all in, I know we were over like 200,000, like I want to say probably 220 or something is what it cost in renovations, where, you know, months earlier, I had thought maybe 20 grand. And months later, we're at about 220 grand in renovations. And so, you know, pretty rough time. You know, we get to, we finally bring up the family and my brother-in-law finally finishes and he leaves. And so he could be home for Thanksgiving. And sorry, it's kind of like a really dark place. I remember like a couple, like probably just a couple days or maybe one weekend. I was going down the stairs to my house. Remember, we lived on a hill. And now we're, you know, we're in the property, right? This 1932 house that he had renovated. It looked beautiful. I'm on the hill and I'm walking down these stairs and I'm not paying attention. I was on my phone trying to message Beth or something that I was going to be late for a Zoom with her. And I just step down on the stair wrong. I break my foot. Something so stupid, you know? I break my foot and it's the middle of like November, almost into December. And like, this is the mountain. This is like right by Canada. And then for the next 8 weeks or so, I can't put weight on it. And so I'm stuck in this house, this little small house, in the middle of the mountains, in the wintertime. I can't leave the house because we're on a hill and I can't, you know, we can't pull the car around because there's so much snow. So I'm just stuck in the house for like 2 months. And for somebody that already has some struggles, it's a really tough time for me. For someone who had had all these, you know, assumptions about what success looked like and business looked like, and for everything to pretty much crumble around you, and like you're here in this vision that you created. You literally created this. And it's exactly opposite of what you assumed it would be. And again, I was just straight back into fear. I was like hardly in the business at that time. I was just trying to like, I was survival mode straight up. I was supposed to be homeschooling the kids. I couldn't even like take care of myself. I needed relief. So I put the kids in school. Tiny little school, you know, up in Hope, Idaho. The city has like 100 people. But I couldn't even put them in school yet because it was going right into Christmas break. Pretty dark Christmas time. Finally, they go to school. It's like the beginning of January. I'm starting to feel some relief and I'm starting to feel like we're turning a corner. You know, eventually I'm able to leave the house because my foot gets better. And then as it typically does, my son, who has such a difficult time in school, he's autistic. It's not going okay. As you can imagine, a tiny little school with 100 people in the town, they don't necessarily have all the resources that they might need for a kiddo like that. And it got so bad where it was just like, I got to pull him out of school again, right? So it's March, pull him out of school. I'm going into a launch. And it's like all these things just combined to like, everything I assumed about what my life up here was going to be was not. Like I wasn't homeschooling the kids. Wasn't living my best life. It's in the middle of winter. Where was the kayaking across the lake? Where's the teaching the curriculum in the barn? Meanwhile, we're learning all sorts of things about this property. Things we had no clue. Yes, we had 5 acres underwater. We learned that real fast. Yes, we lived in an HOA that would not allow a business on our land. that would not allow us to teach curriculum to retreats to women on our land. We could not teach the retreats. They wouldn't allow us to. Our neighbors all voted against us. We had like two other neighbors in the HOA. They said no. The best life we thought we were going to go live turned into like one of the hardest times of our life, but we learned a lot through it. I learned the business is not all it's cracked up to be. I learned that money is not all it's cracked up to be. I learned that money is simply a tool for creating a life, but if you are not careful, it will create a life that you don't want just for the sake of having more money. So a lot of beliefs were shattered in that experience. I eventually, that summer for about a month or two, I homeschooled the kids full time. Best time ever. Had such a great time with them. Like, we were doing all sorts of things. It was like, okay, this is the epitome of why we're here, right? We're spending all this time together, being out in the land. It was so good. And then I got COVID and I was stuck in my room for like, what, another 10 days. It's like, and then that just all fell everything apart, right? But we got to this one moment, and this is really the turning point of everything. We got to this one moment when we'd only been on the property like a year. Really like 9 months, but like we'd owned it for a year. And we had, I always thought that this was going to be like the solution for my son. Like, okay, fine. I'll homeschool him forever, right? I thought after months of homeschooling him, like, he'll be better, right? Like, we can get through life together. Well, we were so excited. We enrolled them into a drama camp. And off we send our kids to drama camp for like a couple weeks, and he's super, energetic on stage. So he, gets a good part or whatever, and we're just thrilled. But my husband calls me on his way back one time after taking them, and he's like, they just called me and said, we need to talk. And I think he's got major issues there, and I don't think they're gonna let him stay. I'm like, this is a camp that we paid for, and like, how bad can it be? Like, this is a camp for kids. Do they not know how to handle kids? Like, he's not that bad, I didn't think. And they didn't know how to handle kids. It's kind of like a new camp program, and they hadn't really had a lot of experience. And so they basically were just like, hey, we're going to give him like maybe one more try. But like, you could just know that they actually didn't want him there. And so I was like, fine, let him give him one more try. Like, whatever, And the next day, sure enough, like, yeah, three strikes, whatever, you're out. So I'm like, we can't even pay a program to like take our son and they keep him. Like, he can't go to a public program. They can't handle him. He can't even go to a private program. They can't handle him. Like, what the heck? And it was at that time we were like, none of this is working. This is not what we signed up for. This is not the result we expected, the vision of the mountains, lakes, and evergreens, and living your best life and homeschooling your kids. This is not that. We cannot do retreats. Why the heck were we sent here? Why did I see the picture of the barn and think of Melody? Why did I see the land and think of retreats? Why did I do any of this? Why did we pour all of our money and like almost like ruin our family for this? Like, surely it's got to turn out good sometime. But we thought, you know what? If all this did was put into a, what would we call it? Almost like a boiler. If all this did was like laser focus the fact that the life you were living, Joy, of 24/7 working and launching for the money so that you could make all this money to go live this vision, like if all that boiled together at the point to finally blow up, and for you to realize, me to realize, life is worth so much more. Life is about so much more. Like, get your priorities in order. Like, spend the time with your family. If all it did was that, this would have been worth it. All the pain that we had gone through would be worth it for me to reprioritize my time. So one heck of a year to go through to get the shift I needed in my mind. But if we said, you know what? I don't know why we're up here. I don't know. Where is the sense of all of this? Where is the lesson? Where is the gift? Where is the silver lining, the miracle, the what? Was it to find Melody? Was it to bring her back? I certainly believe that. But did I go through all that for her? If I did, if all that did was to bring her back into this world so she could share her light and her gift, it would be worth it. But if all it did was also to give me the refocus on my family, if all it did, it would be worth it. And then something crazy happened in this moment. I realized, like, if I can't even send my kid to public, if I can't send him to private, like to any of these schools that supposedly could help my son, where can I send him? Because homeschooling isn't working. I assumed that would fix it, you know? Well, if I can homeschool him, then he'll, you know, be okay. I did not have the resources, the knowledge, the skills to be able to set him up for success either. And I was like, okay, let's look for a school for kiddos just like Ethan. Is there such a school for kids with autism? Because we'd never been in that kind of environment before. Like, huh, it's an interesting idea. So we start looking around, and all of a sudden, oh my gosh, back in Arizona, where we just came from, Arizona has all these opportunities for kids with autism. In fact, the state will pay for it. We'll pay for private education. I'm like, how did we not know about this? But it took an experience like this for us to hit our rock bottom and start researching out even further. We found two schools we thought could be the solutions. In 1 week, we had made the decision to leave and we left. We like ran away from that house. We had no clue if we would ever come back to it. It was August 2022. Oh my gosh, I can't even tell you about the dog that got hit the night before we left, but that happened. That's a story for another day. Anyways, my point in all of this though, you know, we finally found the hope again, the faith again. If all this did, if all this pain, if all it did was help us find the school that would help our son for the next 10 years, then this would be worth it. And all of a sudden, we start seeing miracles everywhere. They're like, oh my gosh, wait a second. What if this whole thing was to get us to go back to Arizona and find that school for our son? What if that? Holy crap. What an organization, what an orchestration of a vision that led us through all of that. But because we went with faith, and even through the fear, we kept moving. And all of a sudden, that horrible year turned into this miracle of an experience. So hard. Hardest year of our life. But so tender to see it orchestrated by God like that. We get to Arizona, like literally 1 week. We made the decision to leave, and a week later, our moving truck moved out. We get there, we find a quick rental that we were in, and get our kids into a different school because we hadn't been even approved into the other schools. Long story short, those two schools we assumed would be right for our son were not right for our son. But you know what they did? They eventually led us to the right school. That he's still into this day, that his teachers love him, that they are so thrilled for him to be in the school, that he gets positive reports during his parent-teacher conference. If all that did was to get us to this place back where we came from, it was worth it. This is why I share this story with you, friends. Faith versus fear. You'll notice in that story, as full of faith as I was, there was still a heck of a lot of trials, weren't there? Was it worth it? Absolutely. Did I have the full faith every single moment? No, I did not. There were moments when I was in the pit. There was moments when I was full of fear. There were moments when I was regretting my decision and my choices, when I had questioned everything. But I kept going. That is the difference. Even through it all. Because somehow I knew God wouldn't have put us on this path if there wasn't some reason we had to do it. We didn't know what the, we assumed what the reason was. We assumed we knew what it was. We had no clue. This is the difference. You have a vision for your life of what you think is your best life. You have an idea of what, you know, the what your compelling future is, but God has something out there so much better for you, so much better. So when you start on this path of your preschool program and you have a vision of what you think it is going to turn out to, and you're full of faith, and you're walking those steps and you're gathering your mentors and you're gathering your tools and your knowledge and you're surrounding yourself and you're taking all the steps. When you run into those roadblocks and when you've got fear straight in your heart, when you're crying and bawling because the path that you're on is leading you to misery. No, the path that you are on is qualifying you to obtain the actual gift that God wants to give you. The actual miracle that you could never have envisioned for yourself in the first place. That is the path that you are on. You just didn't realize it. So I can say with full confidence, looking back over my life, that all of the trials I've gone through are experiences that I have turned to good. Because I look for the lessons in them. I look for the gifts. I look for the miracles that happened along the way. And sometimes you can't see them, but in hindsight, you certainly can't see them in the moment of the trial. But you walk out, you know, 3 months out, 6 months out, 2 years out, you can see God's hand in everything. 2 years out, you can see you're in a better place you could have ever assumed. You know, I'd still be up there on the mountain. The mountain where I couldn't do retreats, the mountain where I wasn't helping women, the mountain where my son wasn't getting the help he needed. But we had to walk through that to change me so that I could be in the place to continue serving my mission so he could get the things that he needed. Crazy story, huh? So my friends, when I tell you that a characteristic of a preschool all-star that I hope you embody or that you want to embody. You don't have to have it fully complete right now. It's through the process you obtain this characteristic, this quality. It's the quality of faith versus fear. It's knowing that you're put into this opportunity right now. You're here in this moment right now with me right now with all of your other all-stars for a reason. Like, we're all brought together here right now for a reason. I was given that vision for a reason, but I still had to walk the path. I still had to tell other people and say, I'm doing this, whenever it didn't make any sense. I still had to work my butt off. Sometimes without sleep, sometimes with, you know, sacrificing things that were important to me. But there is a purpose to all of this, and there is good at the end. So I ask you to continue walking this path of faith. And if you have already started your preschool or if you are already on the path of, you know, creating your program, and if it is not looking the way that you assumed it would right away, right? I assumed I'd be in that house in July and August. I'd be living my amazing life with my house nicely done. And, you know, on the kayak on the lake. And paddleboarding with the kids, living my best life. That's what I assumed. That's okay. It didn't turn out that way. But I still got the gift in the end.